Chapter 16. Murder Most Foul. The dead attacked Marburg again and again, clawing at the walls with thin fingers of bone digging into the stonework to pull themselves up. The entire lower town thronged with rotten corpses, shambling cadavers and skeletal warriors, and all of them threw themselves at the walls of the citadel every night. Marius and his lancers held the shorter stretch of wall between the main gate and the eastern shore, while Aldred held the western stretch of the walls and the barbican towers. Marius swept his sword through the neck of a moaning corpse with green fire in its eyes, kicking the rotten body back down the walls. His sword was proving to be anathema to the dead, and he silently thanked the Eastern King who had gifted it to him so long ago. It had saved his life in Middenheim and was saving him again now. His lancers fought at his side, pushing the dead from the walls, stabbing them with spears, hacking at them with axes, and bludgeoning them with heavy maces. A skeleton came at him with a notched sword, and he stabbed it through the jaw, wrenching its head from its shoulders. The animation went out of the long-dead warrior, and it collapsed over the stone parapet. Another clambered over its remains, and a rusted axe swung down at him. Marius brought his sword up, but the force of the blow turned it aside, and the dead warrior's axe slammed into his shoulder. He grunted in pain and sent a reverse stroke into the creature's neck. The blade parted the bone easily, and the warrior dropped to the ground. Marius stepped away from the wall and shouted, "Take my place!" Another warrior filled the gap Marius had left, and he stabbed his sword into the earth at his feet, rotating his shoulder and prodding the flesh to feel how badly he'd been hurt. The skin was bruised and swollen, but he couldn't feel any blood pouring inside his armour, and he took a moment to survey the fighting. The entire length of the walls pulsed with desperate combats, Endel and Jutone warriors struggling to keep the dead from getting in. A mobile reserve of Ravenhelms stood behind the fighting at the ramparts, ready to bolster the defences whenever the dead punched a hole. But Marius saw they were stretched thinly. All it would take would be one too many breaches, and there would be no one to stop the dead from overrunning them. Marica's archers had taken up positions further back, loosing volleys of arrows over the heads of the warriors at the ramparts. The bat swarms flew overhead, circling the ruins of the Raven Hall or roosting in its tumbled structure. The mist that wreathed the lower town and docks seeped up into the citadel, a choking fog that settled in the lungs and gave every man a hacking cough. Just thinking about it made Marius cough, though thankfully he'd managed to avoid the worst of it by virtue of having well-heated quarters that were free from damp. There was more than one benefit from a close physical relationship with Princess Marica, he thought with a smile. A group of lancers formed up around him, and Marius nodded in weary appreciation of their efforts. He didn't waste words on them, for these men were just doing their job, and if a man needed thanks or encouragement just to do his job, then he wasn't worth employing. Marius heard a shout of terror, and the dreadful form of the dragon reared up over the walls, its patchwork wings spread wide as it hovered over the twin towers of the barbican protecting the citadel's gate. Arrows slashed out towards it, but only Marica's white fletched ones seemed to cause it harm. Two of the war machines hurled iron barbs towards the vast creature, but both splintered against its necrotic hide. A heaving breath of toxic vapours gusted from the dragon's mouth and enveloped the barbican. Men staggered from the ramparts, choking and vomiting as the hellish miasma did its evil work. The road to the lower town sloped down to the gates, and from his position behind the walls, Marius saw them wither as the timbers shoring up the already weakened structure rotted away to brittle dead wood. The mass of dead warriors on the other side buckled the decayed woodwork, and the gates split apart in a flurry of rotten timbers. A mob of groaning warriors poured through the gateway, but any thought that the dead fought without stratagems was banished the moment Marius saw what manner of undead forced their way inside. The chaff of the dead assaulted the walls, shambling corpses with no more will than to devour the flesh of the living. These new attackers were the champions of this host, warriors with black hearts whose dreadful malice transcended their own deaths to sustain them with pure hate. Armoured in ancient hauberks of corroded bronze and bearing long-bladed halberds and great axes, they surged into the citadel and split left and right to sweep the walls clear of defenders. Marius looked around for the Ravenhelms, but Laridus had already led them to plug a breach further along the western walls. "Damn you, Aldred! You're practically giving me your city," said Marius, dragging his sword from the earth. He led his lancers towards the dead champions pouring through the gate as a flurry of arrows sliced into them. A dozen fell, but most simply picked themselves up again, unfazed by the 2-foot shafts jutting from their bodies. The lancers slammed into the dead, cutting the head from the eastern push onto the ramparts. The warriors on the wall saw their danger, and captains of battle sent men to stem the tide of flanking enemy. Marius ducked a ponderously swung axe, plunging his sword through a gap in a dead warrior's armour. His sword passed into his foe's body without resistance, its enchanted edge glowing as though heated in a forge. The champion convulsed, and the magic sustaining it was broken. Marius spun away from the creature, wincing as the old wound in his side pulled painfully. He pushed into the mass of dead warriors, fighting with his usual finesse and elan, and as he beheaded enemy champions with an ease that was as much to do with his blade as his own skill. His lancers fought in a wedge with him at its point, forcing the dead back and stemming the rush of their breach through the gateway. A heavy halberd blade slammed into his stomach, but its edge was dulled, and all it did was drive the wind from him. He doubled up, but before the halberd could be reversed, Marius thrust his sword into the groin of its wielder. The dead champion clattered to the ground as it was destroyed, and Marius surged to his feet, invigorated at yet another brush with death. "It'll take more than that to kill me," he yelled, plunging headlong into the mass of dead warriors. The fear was gone, and he felt utterly disconnected from even the idea of it. He heard the booming wingbeats of the dragon beyond the walls, but even that held no fear for him. For one wild moment, Marius thought of charging through the gateway to face the dragon like the heroes of legend, who were said to fight such monsters on a daily basis. Common sense reasserted itself as he saw Aldred and a detachment of Ravenhelms fighting the dead, forcing their way down the western stretch of the walls. The Endels fared rather less well than the Jutones, and Aldred's warriors were falling to the black blades of the dead like cabin boys before a bosun's whip. 10 of you with me! The rest of you secure this gate!" he shouted. "Nothing gets in or out!" Without waiting to see if his order was obeyed, Marius ran towards the Endels. Pipe music drifted across the ramparts, and Marius wanted to laugh with derision. Who in their right mind played music when there was a battle to be fought? His sword shimmered with light as he sliced it across the small of a dead warrior's back, almost cutting him in two. His lancers swung their swords and maces to break a path through towards the Endels. Marius blocked a slashing blow to the head and hacked the legs from another dead man, spinning around to parry 2 quick thrusts and destroy another pair of dead champions. These warriors might be the best of the dead, but Marius was a count of the Empire and bore a blade that hated the undead with a vengeance. Its power flowed through his veins like an elixir, and though Marius was a fine swordsman, even he wasn't arrogant enough to believe he was this good. Another blade of power flickered near him, and he saw Aldred fighting against a towering monster of bone and iron. Like a vast statue of basalt, iron, and discarded butcher meat, the monster slashed ponderously with an axe formed from some enormous creature's jagged tooth jawbone. Aldred darted in to slash his sword at the creature, and it turned its great axe upon him. The Endel count jumped back, giving Marius the chance to attack the creature, plunging his blade into its back. His blade flashed with angry light, as though encountering some force inimical to the enchantments worked into its metal. Marius flinched as the blade stung him like a treacherous serpent, feeling his sudden euphoria and confidence evaporate in the face of this new beast. It turned to face him, its monstrous bovine skull jammed with the fangs of a dozen different deadly creatures. It snapped at him, a jagged tooth catching the links of his mail shirt and tugging him off balance. The jawbone axe swung for him, but the blue fire of Aldred's blade caught the dreadful weapon in its downswing and deflected it into the earth. As the beast struggled to free its blade, Endel warriors and Jutone lancers surrounded it, stabbing with spears and halberds. Marius righted himself and ducked beneath his slashing axe, slicing his own weapon towards the creature's belly. The sword scraped along the monstrously elongated thigh bone, trailing sparks of orange fire until it bounced clear on the vast pelvis. Aldred attacked from the beast's other side, hammering Ulfshard against the beast's flank. As mighty as the beast was, it could not resist the pressure of so many blades, and portions of its form began to come apart under the relentless assault. Shards of bone and armour peeled loose from its body as Aldred and Marius clove their blades through its unnatural bulk. Fighting side by side, the counts of the Empire hacked the slow-moving creature down, piece by piece. Aldred was the one to deliver the death blow, though Marius had seen the opening. Even in the midst of this desperate fight, he knew to leave the glory to the man whose city this was. As the creature tumbled back in a collapsing pile of rotted armour and mismatched bone, Marius heard a sudden clamour from the gateway as the defenders finally resealed the shattered portal. Wagons, debris, broken crates and rocks were rolled down the slope to block the entrance. It wasn't pretty and likely wouldn't hold out against another attack, but it would do for now. Marius rotated his neck to work loose the stiff muscles and walked towards Aldred. "Quite some fight," he said with a laconic smile. "Damn thing almost had me there." Aldred nodded, too weary to answer, and Marius swept his sword out in an elaborate bow before the Endel count. He heard shouts of alarm, but before he could pinpoint the reason for them, he was barreled to the ground as someone in heavy armour slammed into him. Marius rolled, but a mailed fist cracked against his jaw and he saw stars. Shouts of alarm became shouts of anger, but Marius was too dazed to understand what was going on. He felt himself being dragged away from where he'd fallen and struggled to get his feet underneath him. He heard Jutone and Endel voices shouting at one another, but couldn't make sense out of what they were saying. Eventually, his vision cleared enough to see that he was being dragged away by one of the Ravenhelms, Aldred's chief lieutenant, if he remembered correctly, though the man's name was a mystery. He rolled and swung his sword up. The man jumped back and Marius scrambled to his feet as Aldred ran over towards the confrontation. "Laridus, what in man's name are you doing?" shouted Aldred. "Getting this conniving, murderous bastard away from you," shouted the Ravenhelm. "Are you mad?" demanded Marius. "I was fighting alongside your precious count, you damn fool. I'll have you flogged for this. 100 lashes from my strongest lancer." "Enough, both of you," cried Aldred. "Put up your weapons. There will be no flogging here. Laridus, I mean it. Put up your sword." The Ravenhelm stared at Marius with unbridled hatred, and Marius knew he saw through his deceptive facade of bonhomie and brotherhood. This man knew he intended to win the hearts and minds of the Endel warriors before engineering Aldred's death. Laridus was a dangerous man, and Marius knew he would have to find a way to be rid of him before continuing with his and Madoka's plan to make Marburg their own. Before any more could be said, a freezing shadow enveloped the ramparts as the mighty dragon and its sorceress rider dropped from the sky to land upon the Barbican Towers with a thunderous boom of wings. Its hideous bulk shook the very foundations of the citadel as it reared over them with its jaw spread wide. Despite his terror of this monster, Marius smiled as he realized the perfect means to be rid of Laridus had just presented itself to him in all its monstrous, draconic glory. Assuming it didn't kill him, too. "Can you hit it from here?" asked Kavanon, squinting towards the blurred outline of the empty barrel resting against the walls of Reichdorf. He placed the canvas bag on the barrel head, but couldn't see it from here. Nor could he tell how far away it was, but Cuthwin assured him they were at least 100 paces away. Bison held on to his shoulder, eager to see if this composition would produce a more stable reaction. Though Gavanon's sight was virtually gone, he still felt Cuthwin's withering gaze. "You could put it another 50 paces back and I'd still hit it," the scout assured him. "Sorry," said Gavanon. "Is this one going to work, Dar?" said Bison. "Is it going to be big bang?" "Hopefully, son, but not too big." Kavanon had spent weeks working on the dwarf war machine, melting down almost every spare piece of armour and weaponry to forge a strong enough tube to replace the broken barrel. In every case, the required centre of mass was off, the metal perforated with air bubbles, or the weight not a precise match. These had proven to be costly mistakes, for each imperfection caused Master Holtwine's wooden carriage to fall out of balance. Dwarf engineering was unforgiving of errors. But now they had it, a perfect twin of the other barrels, one that was completely in balance with the others and which was free from air bubbles and matched the precise density of the dwarf work. Though he never said so out loud, Gavanon wished he could travel to the mountain holds of the dwarfs to hear their cries of astonishment at his accomplishment. Haltwine's timber carriage was a work of beauty, an elegant recreation of the broken one that had been dug from the ground. Its flanks were embellished with carvings depicting Cuthwin's rescue of Grindan Deeplock and his battle with the wolves. The machine was locked in Gavanon's forge, but, as magnificent as it was, there was one problem. Without fire powder, it was simply an expensive sculpture. Gavanon had forged plenty of shot for the machine, but he had no idea how to craft the dwarf folk's fire powder, which the device needed to function. In desperation, he'd made Cuthwin read him passages from accounts stored in the Great Library of Empire tribesmen who'd seen these weapons of war in action. From these accounts, Gavanon had worked out how the devices functioned, which was more than any man had done before. But knowing how a device worked and recreating it were two different things. With Offorth's help, they had found a Jutone text purporting to be the writings of a trader named Erlich Voist's journey to the lands of a far-flung eastern empire beyond the World's Edge Mountains, where the death of a great king was marked by great explosions fired into the sky by a fine black powder. Voist had tried to discover the secret of this powder, but had been stymied by his host's reluctance to divulge its composition. In the end, he had stolen a batch and tried to recreate it on the voyage home, though all he had managed to do was destroy three of his ships and lose a leg in the process. It had been a painful process of illumination, for Cuthwin read slowly, and Offorth was too engrossed in his own researches to be much help. Throughout their researches, Gavanon noticed that the venerable Grand Scholar took care to remain within sight of them at all times, as though afraid of being alone in his own library. Armed with the many variations of voice recipe for Eastern fire powder, they had tried numerous experimental proportions of charcoal, saltpeter, and sulphur, sometimes adding mercury and arsenic compounds for added effect. Most of their concoctions had burned too slowly, while others had blown smoking holes in the forge wall and begun fires that threatened to burn Reichdorf down. In the wake of such incidents, Alfgeir had threatened to shut down their work, but Gavanon had, thus far, managed to persuade him of the validity of their researches. "So are we far enough back, Smith?" asked Cuthwin, breaking into Gavanon's thoughts. "Yes," he said. "We should be." "Should be?" Gavanon nodded. "Yes, I'm almost sure of it. This new concoction has an added resin extract to slow the explosive reaction. It should react with just the right amount of violence, but enough control to allow us to fire the war machine without blowing it to pieces." "Or us," added Bison. "We don't want to be blown to pieces, neither do we, Da." "No, son, we don't," Gavanon assured him. "Well, if you're absolutely sure," said Cuthwin. "I'm sure. Light the arrow." Cuthwin lowered the oil-soaked arrowhead into the flame, and Gavanon heard his bowstring pull taut. "Best cover your ears after you loose," said Gavanon, as the arrow flashed from Cuthwin's bow. The burning shaft flew through the air and punched into the canvas bag. Almost instantaneously, a thunderous bang echoed from the walls, and a fiery plume of orange light erupted from the bag. Acrid smoke coiled upwards, and a cloud of black streamed up from where the barrel had stood. Cuthwin and Bison led Gavanon forward, his ears still ringing from the deafening blast. The barrel had vanished, leaving nothing but splinters the size of a child's little finger. A portion of the city wall was blackened in a teardrop-shaped pattern, and a number of angry warriors shouted down at them from above. "Sorry," shouted Cuthwin, waving at them. "Did it work, Dar?" asked Bison, sifting through the remains of the barrel and turning the smouldering fragments over in his hands. "In a manner of speaking," said Gavanon, able to make out the extent of the black scorch marks on the wall despite his blurred vision. "Even with the addition of the resin, the explosion was still too powerful. It would destroy the war machine." Though this concoction had failed to produce a workable compound, Gavanon took out his measuring sticks and began to plot the dimensions of the blast. He shouted numbers for Cuthwin to note down, running through fresh ideas on how to retard the speed and violence of the reaction. As Gavanon measured the extent of the blast, a troop of horsemen rounded the curve of the wall. Even before he heard the lead rider's booming voice, Gravano knew who it would be. He braced himself for the Marshal of the Reich's ire. "Damn you, Smith! What in the name of Ulrich's blood are you doing? I warned you about testing that fire powder!" shouted Alfgeir, dismounting from his horse and marching over to Gavanon. He could smell the sweat and anger of the man coming off him in waves. "Ah, Alfgeir," said Gavanon. "Yes, you did warn me. I remember it vividly. Then why are you trying to destroy the city walls with your damn foolishness?" "You said you didn't want me to burn down the city," pointed out Gavanon. "So here we are outside it. The wall may have suffered some slight damage, it's true, but nothing that should affect its structural integrity." "Some slight damage," snapped Alfgeir, kicking over a pile of blackened timber. "You damn near put a hole in it."
"Scientific discovery requires some experimentation and trial and error methodology."
Alfgeir paced along the length of the wall, staring at them all, one by one, struggling to hold his anger in check. Gavanon wanted to remind him of what they might learn from this experiment, but knew the man needed to vent before he would listen to reason.
"Damn me! But if our advancement requires the work of a blind man, a simpleton and a huntsman, then we're doomed for sure," said Alfgeir. "And aren't you supposed to be making me a sword? Didn't I commission the finest blade in the land, and didn't you promise that it would be ready by the first snows?"
"It's not snowing yet," said Gavanon, looking towards the sky.
"It's not, is it?"
"Not yet, but it will be a week at most, and I still haven't seen any hint of a blade."
"You'll have your sword, Marshal of the Empire," promised Gavanon. "And if I'm any judge, something far more impressive."
"What are you talking about?" said Alfgeir, kneeling beside the shattered pieces of timber. And Gavanon heard the warrior's sudden peak of interest at the idea the weapon might actually function.
"Did it work?"
"No," said Gavanon wearily. "It didn't. But we're close."
"Close isn't good enough, Gavanon," said Alfgeir. "Either get it working in the next few days, or I'm loading it on a wagon and sending it east to the dwarfs. Do I make myself clear?"
"Perfectly," said Gavanon.
The dragon roared, sweeping the ramparts with its deathly dry bellow. Marius tasted ash and caustic fumes, throwing himself flat as the hot breath billowed. As the heat washed over him, Marius realized these were not the corrosive fumes that strip flesh from men's bones, but simply a terrible exhalation of long-dead lungs. Cries of terror spread away from the dragon as warriors fled from the nightmarish creature. He rolled onto his side, gripping his sword tightly as though his terror could be kept at bay simply by holding a weapon touched by protective sorceries. Incredibly, it seemed as though that were the case, as his terror diminished in the face of what was surely the most horrifying thing he had ever seen. Its eyes were sunken, rotted orbs that burned with emerald fire. The rider astride its clattering bone neck loomed over them all, its mailed gauntlets cracking with dark energies that flowed into the dread mount and filled its dead limbs and corpse flesh with animation. Reeking clouds of bloated, blood-fat insects swarmed around the monster, a haze of flesh-eating creatures ready to feast on the dragon's leavings. Beneath the rider's hood, twin orbs of smouldering fire swept its gaze across the collection of mortals arranged before it, as though understanding that the masters of this city were within its grasp.
"Aldred!" shouted Laridus, running towards the Count of the Endels. "Get back!"
Marius felt the eyes of the black-robed sorcerer boring into him, a hollow gaze of utter evil. But his sword hilt grew hot in his hands, and he felt the power of the creature swirl around him without effect. He smiled, flexing his fingers on the copper-wound handle of his sword as the feeling of invulnerability surged through him once again. The dragon lurched forward, not sinuously, but with an awkward gait that was at odds with the grace it showed in the air. Marius was reminded of a fish scooped from the water onto a riverbank, or the wide-winged birds that lived on the cliffs above Jutunsrik, poised in the air, but waddling and graceless on the ground. Its claws slashed out at waist height, and half a dozen of the raven helms were smashed to bloody ruin. Its skeletal head snapped down and plucked another from the ground. The man screamed, but his cries were cut off as the dragon bit down and snapped him in two. Laridus fought to get Aldred back, but to his credit, the Count of Marburg stood his ground.
Ulfshard blazed with fey light that reflected from the tarnished scales that still hung from the dragon's bones. Lances and raven helms stabbed long pikes at the dragon, but the blade scraped down the beast's hide or bounced from iron-hard bone. Dozens surrounded it, hurling spears and jamming its body with halberds. Marius worked his way around the edge of the fight, staying close enough to play a part, but keeping clear of the vast monster's slashing claws and snapping teeth. The fire-eyed rider reared back, and a gust of parched wind, like a sirocco blown of the southern deserts, swept down to engulf the ramparts. Endel warriors screamed and fell to their knees as their bodies were racked by dark magic. Their flesh withered and rotted, their bones becoming brittle and dusty. Marius felt the seething energies around him, but he remained untouched. Likewise, Aldred seemed impervious to the malefic sorcery. So clearly, there was an advantage to bearing a sword enchanted by the Fey or foreign kings. Laridus staggered under the effects of the powerful magic, his skin pallid and the veins on his neck straining like hawser ropes. The dragon's neck came down and its jaws opened, still drooling a wash of blood and entrails from its last kill. The raven helm hammered his sword into the dragon's mouth and broke several fangs. Arrows bounced from its bony skull, and a huge javelin hurled by a war machine plunged between its ribs. Aldred ran to join his champion, but Laridus pushed him away. "Stay back!" he yelled. His distraction cost him dear, as the dragon's jaws snapped shut on his shoulders and head. Laridus came apart like a wineskin filled with blood, his upper body carved open with a gory V-shape into his torso. Aldred screamed his champion's name as Marius leapt forward to bring his sword down on the dragon's head. His fiery blade clove through the bone of its skull, hacking a fist-sized chunk of bone from its body. The beast roared and snapped at him, but Marius was already moving. He dived beneath the dragon's jaw, rolling to his feet on its left-hand side. His sword plunged into its eye, and a blaze of green fire spurted from the wound. Aldred hurled himself at the beast, Ulfshard slashing a burning tracery across the dragon's snout. It reared back, and its claws slammed down. A cracked talon slashed Aldred's chest open, and the Endel count fell back. Blood streamed from the deep wound, and Aldred toppled to the ground. Marius ran to the injured Aldred, but the hooded rider hurled a forking blast of black lightning from his iron-sheathed fingers towards him. He staggered under the force of the dread sorcerer's power as ice poured through his veins, his sword's magic unable to prevent the darkness from overcoming him. "Damn you!" he yelled, more angry than afraid. "Not like this!" His sword flared brightly, and the enchantments beaten into its folded metal by the wizards of the celestial tower of the divine dragon 1,000 years ago unraveled before such dread energy. Its blade shone like the sun, cracks of light spurting all along its length as the magic dissolved. The sword exploded in radiant beams of light that spiraled heavenward with the sound of bells and shattering glass in a faraway tower. The full force of the black sorcerer's magic surged in Maris's body, but moments later it was gone. Maris blinked away dark spots from his eyes and saw Aldred on his feet before the rearing dragon, the sorcerer's arcing forks of black lightning being drawn into the pellucid blue form of Ulfshard. It seemed impossible that any blade, enchanted or not, could survive such an assault. But Ulfshard was an ancient weapon of the immortal Fey folk from across the oceans. Their smiths had mastery of magic and all its secrets, since before mankind had crawled from muddy caves in the mountains. Those who had bound their arcane knowledge into its star metal had done so with complete understanding of the winds of magic and how to defeat those who sought to pervert that power to evil purposes. As powerful as this sorcerer's magic was, it was nothing compared to the power bound to Ulfshard's elder design. Marius watched in amazement as Aldred, blood pouring from the mortal wound in his chest, swept his blade down, casting the corrupt energies of undeath into the earth. The ground at his feet blackened and withered, its life drained in an instant as the dark magic was dissipated through the enduring rock of the citadel. A white-fletched arrow flew through the air and buried itself in the chest of the sorcerer, who let out an almighty howl of rage. Its magic was cut off abruptly as another arrow sliced through its black robe and flared brightly with a wash of pure light. As his strength began to return, Marius twisted to see Marica calmly walking towards the dragon and its rider, loosing arrow after arrow at the dread creature. Her bow shimmered with light. Silver-blue threads worked into the bow-stave, gleaming with the same pale light as suffused Ulfshard. More arrows slashed into the dark sorcerer, and Marius felt the creature's desperation as the magic of the fey folk severed the connection to its dread master. Marius surged to his feet as Aldred collapsed to his knees and slumped onto his side. Ulfshard dropped from his hands as Marica sent another arrow through the hood of the sorcerer. It screeched with agony, and scales fell from the dragon's body, its limbs spilling powdered bone from between its joints. The green fire in its remaining eye dimmed, and Marius saw he had a chance to end this. He swept up Aldred's fallen sword and charged the reeling dragon. Ulfshard blazed with all the power the ancient smith and his archmage brother had bound to its edge. Marius brought Ulfshard down on the dragon's neck, the blade shattering mighty bones as thick as a man's waist, as easily as if they were fashioned from brittle clay. The sword cut through the dragon's neck, and its head fell to the ramparts with a bellowing roar, like a whirlwind through a bone-filled desert. The sorcerer's will, animating the long-dead beast, could not hold its form together in the face of Ulfshard's magic, and it began falling apart, bones and withered flesh falling like ashen flakes from its mighty form. Its wings folded and rotted away, blown like cinders from a cold fire pit. Its hollow bones disintegrated, and the black sorcerer upon the dragon's back fell to the ramparts. Its robes billowed around it like hellish wings, and its hood fell back to reveal a loathsome face with gaunt cheeks, pallid skin, and a narrow, tapered jaw filled with needle-like fangs. Its eyes were sunken and violet, but Marius saw they were all too human. This evil that had bound itself to Nagash was no unholy creature of darkness, but had once been a man. A man steeped in evil and filled with unnatural power, but a man nonetheless. Glowing arrows protruded from his body, shafts of white and gold that trembled as though working deeper into his magically sustained existence. The creature hissed and bared its fangs, but Marius saw it was wounded nigh unto death and stripped of its powers by Marica's arrows. Marius stepped in and hammered Ulfshard across the creature's neck, the blade slicing as cleanly through the monster's flesh as it had the unholy dragon's. It died with a curse on its lips, but as its head flew through the air, the body ignited with an internal fire that consumed it within the time it took Marius to bring Ulfshard around. A cold wind blew over the ramparts, and a fetid exhalation gusted along the length of the walls as skeletal warriors, hacking their way over the walls, collapsed into piles of decaying bone. Undead corsairs slumped on the docks, and bloodied corpses that had, moments before, been clawing at the desperate defenders of Marburg now fell to the ground as the dark will empowering them was undone. Thousands more remained beyond the walls, but this attack was over. And that was good enough for Marius. He sheathed Ulfshard, not surprised in the least to find it fitted within his scabbard, despite being almost a handspan longer than his previous blade. Marica ran up to him and threw her arms around his neck. She held him tightly, and he responded in kind, though the gesture was automatic rather than heartfelt. "We did it," she cried. "They're dead." Marius looked at the decaying remains of the sorcerer and his dragon, lying next to the corpses of Aldred and Laridus. He wondered which death she meant, but realized it didn't matter. "That we did, my dear," he said with a satisfied grin. "That we did."